I want to talk just a little bit about the theme from camp, which is, like we already mentioned, being created in God's image. Before I do that, just real quick, I want to, again, extend a word of appreciation to our adult volunteers who willingly gave up like a week of PTO to be in Tennessee in the middle of June. And they did this because they truly love our students and they truly want our students to know Christ better. Like, I've come to know all these people, and I am just really impressed by the commitment and the dedication of this team. Very proud to be a part of it. So thank you to Debbie, John, Megan, Brett, Teresa. Truly amazing, dedicated team. And I also just want to say that, just to put it simply, I really like this youth group. I got to see this up close and personal all week long. Like, our students really go all in whatever is in front of them. That was games, that was worship, that was anything. You know, at the end of the night, like towards the very end of the day, we would have what's called church group time, which meant that we would all crowd into this small, very, very hot room and talk about the sermon, talk about some pretty heavy duty, like, theological and biblical stuff. And I didn't know how that was going to go. I thought maybe they would be disengaged because it's tired, because we're all tired and it's hot. They were always willing, even eager, to engage with that stuff and have some really profound conversations, like Parker was talking about earlier. I was really impressed. And I shouldn't have been surprised, because that's how Wednesday nights here at youth group usually go, and because working with your students is absolutely easily one of the high points of my week every week, and it's a privilege and an honor to be here. So I wanted to say that, and I also, like I mentioned, just want to spend a few minutes in the time that we have remaining reflecting on the theme from camp, being made in God's image. And I don't really think you could come up with a theme that's more timely and relevant to our society right now. Because when the Bible talks about being made in the image of God, it's really getting at this issue of our identity. Right? What makes human beings what we are? And right now, it goes without saying that our society is like hyper-focused on these issues of identity right now. As a society, we're trying to answer these questions of what gives our lives purpose, significance, direction. What defines us as human beings? And there's 7 billion of us on the planet, right? So, like, what makes us as individuals worth anything in the first place? There's a million different answers to this question, you know, like a million different ideas out there about how we should define ourselves. And I'm just going to rattle off a few, some of the more significant ones that might pop into our minds. We define ourselves based on our nationality and our ethnicity, right? Like our cultural heritage, where our ancestors come from. We define ourselves based on physical attractiveness and physical fitness. We do so on IQ level, our intelligence, our ability to kind of understand and talk about complex information, which is, you know, apparently becoming more and more important in our society. We define ourselves based on our gender and our sexuality, which is obviously just an enormous one right now. We define ourselves based on how much money we make, what kind of job we work, where we fit in kind of the social class structure in our society. And this is true of non-Christians, but it's true of Christians as well. I was literally getting this talk ready. I was at a coffee shop in St. Charles getting this talk ready when into the parking lot pulls in a guy driving a Ferrari, which I'd never seen outside of a video game before. It's my first... I see this guy driving a Ferrari, and like my first thought was, like, not just like, oh, that's a sweet car, which it was a beautiful car. It was, wow, that guy must have done something right. You know, like, I immediately assigned like high level of value to this guy because of the car that he was driving. That's like really deeply ingrained inside me, and I suspect for most of us here. So money, we define ourselves, and this might be the number one category, really, according to our abilities and our talents, our what we can make, what we can produce. And I'm talking about these things like they're bad things, but in reality, they're all aspects of our existence. They are a huge part our life in this world. So it's natural in a way that we would try to define ourselves according to these things, to try to find our true identity in these categories. The problem is, and I think that as a society we are recognizing this more and more, is that this isn't really working out for us. I don't say this lightly or flippantly at all, but there's a reason why depression and anxiety and even suicide are going through the roof right now. And again, I don't say that lightly. It's because we are attempting to find our identity in these categories. And by we, I mean myself, absolutely 100% included. We are attempting to find our identity in these categories, and those categories, those things that we just talked about, aren't meant to bear the weight of our identity. So I feel that pressure. I'm sure we all feel that pressure, which is why I myself and everyone else here needs to hear the message of Scripture about who we really are and why we really matter. And that message is found quite literally in the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that the most important thing about you, the absolute fundamental truth about you, is this. I'm reading in verse 26. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Skipping down to the end of the chapter. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning. It was the sixth day. Now, theologians have debated for centuries about what exactly it means that we are made in the image of God. Like, what all goes into that? It's a wonderful, incredibly interesting topic. It deserves an entire full-length sermon. Not just a full-length sermon, like an entire series of sermons. But obviously, we don't have time to go into all the aspects. But what I'll say very basically is that being made in the image of God means that we are representatives of God here on earth. We're representatives of God. And so, like, in a couple of days when you go out to your 4th of July barbecue or maybe a fireworks show, it's likely that you're going to be asked at some point to pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Now, the flag of the United States of America is a piece of cloth or some other material. It is not America, obviously, but it represents America. When you look at the flag, you think of America and what it stands for. And in the same way, when someone looks at you, they see a reflection of God's goodness and creativity. Whether you like feel this way or not, whether you believe it or not, frankly, like, you are evidence that God is good and that he makes good things. And that's the first part of what the image of God means. And it also means that you've been given a calling. You have a role to play here on earth. Like, your calling, when we use the word calling in modern parlance, it usually means your job. But your calling isn't just your job. Your job is actually probably just a small part of your calling. Mostly, it is the other people that God has intentionally and specifically placed into your life. God has existed from all eternity, even before creation, as a relationship of love between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's who God is. And when he places us in relationships and we live those out well, when we love each other the way that God designed, then we are truly a reflection of who God is, and we bring glory to him. So again, a lot to unpack here, but basically what we're talking about is that the image of God means that you are a good creation, you belong here, you're not a mistake, and you have a role here on earth that really matters. So, why don't we like feel like or act like good creations most of the time? Like, why is there such a disconnect between the truths that we're just talking about and like our lived experience on a typical Tuesday? You know, like when we don't feel like we're doing anything significant, when we ourselves don't feel significant. Well, to jump right into it, the biblical answer is sin, right? And there's a couple of different ways that the Bible uses the term sin. First of all, is breaking a commandment, breaking a moral rule. It's like when I go to my 2-year-old Hannah and I tell her to, hey, Hannah, put down your sister's rainbow unicorn magical princess Barbie doll, right? And Hannah goes, no! And, you know, it's, which she actually does, by the way. That's sin, right? Like, that's obviously what we're talking about when we talk about sin. But sin is more than that. It's also a distortion. It's like taking the image of God that is good and twisting it so that we no longer represent God the way that we should. So that we no longer live out our callings the way that God had originally designed. So This image of God is not eradicated when sin comes into the world, but it is twisted, it is distorted, and we ourselves are not able to unbend it and put it back into its proper shape. And that is why the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What Christ did through his incarnation, his life, his sacrificial death, his resurrection, was to make it possible for the image of God inside of us to be renewed. And that's what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians, one of my personal favorite passages, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul writes, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." The image of God that has been bent hasn't just been like fixed up, it's been renewed, it's been made new. What's going on here is that Christ is the image of God. He is the perfect representative of the Father. Like, Christ carried out his calling from God to absolute perfection. That's Christ's identity. And when we are united to Christ in faith, that becomes our identity as well. So Christ, his perfect, never distorted, never ruined image becomes ours. And in the deepest, truest way possible, in Christ, we represent God perfectly. We carry out our callings perfectly. We are clear and undistorted reflections of God's love and creativity. And that's not just some like nice stuff that sounds good. It is the foundational truth of our lives. And it means a million different things, but what it means for our purposes here today is that like the old identity categories that we talked about at first, like they still exist. Like, you're going to go outside of these doors in a couple of minutes, and you're still going to have a background, you're still going to have a nationality and ethnicity, you're still going to have a socioeconomic class, you're going to have these different skills and abilities, you're going to have all these different things are going to affect your life for the rest of your life. But none of that stuff is what we point to when we talk about who we really are anymore. Those aren't what define us. Paul has to explain this throughout the New Testament, and particularly to the church in Galatia. He has to tell this to the Galatians, who are obsessed with these identity markers. What's the difference between Jews and Gentiles, right? And do you have to become Jewish to be saved? And they're dealing with all this stuff. And Paul says these categories that you're using, these identity markers, they don't matter anymore. He says in chapter 3, verse 26, In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The old ways, and this is in conclusion here, and the old ways of categorizing people, of ranking and identifying people, they've been broken down and they've been done away with in Christ. That is what the image of God means. You're going to spend the rest of your life learning how to walk in that freedom, in that newness of life. And there are going to be days when you don't feel new or free at all, right? And that's okay, because this isn't our work. You do not create yourself and you do not recreate yourself. It is the work of God. And like Philippians says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion against the day of Jesus Christ. That freedom that is already yours in Christ, that new identity that is already yours, will increasingly become your lived experience. Your faith will be sight, right? More and more, as even in this world, and most certainly it will be the case in the next world. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you so much that we are made in your image, and that every single one of us here, regardless of what we believe or don't believe, are in your image, and we have significance and value and purpose because of that. Thank you so much that even when we got distorted by sin, you did not leave us in that state, but you sent Christ to make us new. Help us to cling to him and to remember that our true identity is not in ourselves and in anything we do, but because of what Christ has done for us. He is the perfect representative of God. He is your son, and we are children of God through him. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the camp and the hard work that was put into that. And thank you that, and I pray that along with Howard, that every student who went would carry their experiences and their encounters with you forward into the years to come. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, and that is all. You're dismissed. Thank you.